usurps God's role as judge. And in fact, we can be sure that our anger is wrong when it keeps us from living the way God wants us to live. Let's move on. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be not, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So according to the Greek, this is a once for all action. It's a once for all action. Why should we do this? Because progress in our spiritual lives cannot occur unless we see sin for what it is. We have to not justify it, and we have to decide to reject it. And so the word picture here that James, his word picture is us getting rid of our habits and our actions, like stripping off dirty clothes. You ever been so dirty that you had to take your clothes off outside before you could get in the house? So here's your fill in the blank. After we get rid, then we need to humbly accept the message of God, and we need to seek to live by God's message, because it's been planted in our heart and it becomes a part of who we are. It becomes a part of our being. So God teaches from the depths of our soul, from the teaching of the Spirit, and by the teaching of Spirit-led people. The person that told me that this is why we've got to confirm things with God's Word, because the person that I told you about that told me that there was no hope for me, that the devil had my head mounted as a trophy on his wall, was a spiritual mentor in my life. I looked up to him as a man of God and held him in high esteem. Remember, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you blew it, repent. And there's no condemnation. There's correction and there's conviction, but there's not condemnation. So for him to tell me that, and the crazy thing is about that story, the end of that story is, Mike and I went to a pastors and leadership Promise Keepers event in Phoenix, Arizona. Who you suppose I was sitting right in front of? That guy. And I told Mike, I got to go talk to him. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who that guy was. Generically, that guy was the guy that told me there was no hope for me, that my head was mounted on the wall. That guy. And so I went and sat down with him, and I talked to him. And you know what I led with? I'm here to forgive you. I just want to forgive you, ask you to forgive me. Actually, that's what I said. I said, I want you to forgive me. Well, why do I need to forgive you? I said, because I've held anger and bitterness towards you all these many years. Because you said this to me all those years ago. He didn't even remember saying it. And I said, well, you did, because I've been carrying it. And I'm releasing it right now. Why? Because there's power in the spoken word. Listen, forgiveness, Ralph, if I forgive you, it ain't doing you near as much good as it is me. Forgiveness isn't about that other person. Forgiveness is for you. You're the one. Because all those years I was hung up on that issue with that pain and that hurt and that anger in my heart, and he didn't even know what was going on. I'm the only one that knew what was going on. And I was taking care of that thing. I mean, I was petting it. I was loving on that thing. He didn't have a clue anything was even wrong. But it was me. And when I forgave, and when we forgive and we release that, so after we get rid, then we need to humbly accept the message of God and seek to live by it, because it's been planted in our hearts and it becomes a part of our being. And God teaches us from the depths of our soul, from the teaching of the Spirit, and by the teaching of Spirit-led people. So the soil in which the Word of God is planted must be hospitable. Must be hospitable in order for it to grow. And so to make soil hospitable, we've got to give up impurities in our life. That's not a one-time deal. That's an over and over deal. That's an everyday deal. We got to keep working on it over and over and over and over. Anybody know what a subsoiler is? A subsoiler is like a big fang on the back of a tractor or on the back of a cat, like a ripper tooth. And they're like about 4 foot long, and you... And under the topsoil of the ground, there's a layer called hard pan. The Bible calls it fallow ground. And when you take a subsoiler and you stick a subsoiler in the ground and you begin to break up that fallow ground, it begins to release stuff and allow oxygen and water to get down into that hard pan, and it can begin to produce, the dirt becomes better dirt. And some of us need the subsoiler of the Holy Spirit and His Word to get down in it and begin to break up the fallow ground of our heart, because our hearts become hard. God's Word needs to become a permanent part of us. It needs to guide us. The implanted Word is strong enough to save our souls. And when we absorb the characteristics that are taught in God's Word, these are expressed in how we live. So trials and temptations cannot defeat us if we're applying God's truth to our life. Here's where I make people mad. Simply reading, even studying God's Word, does not profit us if we don't do what it says. You can know the Bible inside and out, upside down, crossways and backwards, but if you don't apply it to your heart, you're just smart. The education, I'll go back to the spaceship, the education that those astronaut people, the people that work for NASA, the education that they've learned, if they didn't do something with it, they wouldn't be promoting a space trip around the moon. But because they applied what they know, those four astronauts are having the time of their life right now. Crazy. Crazy. We listen to God's message not just to know it, but to do it. You ever heard somebody say to you, "Do as I say, not as I do"? Ruh-roh. How many of you know that won't work? We're fooling ourselves to congratulate ourselves about knowing the Scripture if that's all there is to it. Here's some more fill in the blank. Worthwhile knowledge is a prelude to action. You need? Got them? All right. Worthwhile knowledge is a prelude to action. God's Word can only grow in the soil of obedience. So in order for a lesson to make a difference in a student's life, it must enter his heart and mind and affect his or her life. It's important to hear God's Word, but it's more important to obey God's Word. Here's your last one. Last two. We can measure the effectiveness of our Bible study time by the effect it has on our behavior and our attitude. Let me close with this. Do we put into action what we have learned? What we have studied? Brings us back to we walk by faith and not by sight. Right? We walk by faith. And when we get knocked down, when we blow it, when we do stupid things, we don't lay there and wallow in it. We get up and repent and dust ourselves off and get back in the game. And if somebody ever tells you that there's no hope for you, you tell them we ain't serving the same God. Because the God that I serve wrote me a love letter that says His mercies are new every morning. And by grace I'm saved, not of works. My performance ain't got nothing to do with my salvation. His performance on Friday has everything to do with my salvation, and I can't add nothing to it. When Jesus was on the cross on Friday, you know what He said? It is finished. It is finished. And if it's finished, you can't add anything to it. It's you ever been cooking something? Got it all fixed up just how you want it? Somebody come along, turn the stove up, add this to it, add that to it, take it off the stove. My mom was a World War II bride. She came over in World War II from England. And my dad said that my mom couldn't boil water. And so he began to teach her. My dad was a really good cook. And my mom was so proud because she was going to make my dad a raisin pie. And it filled the whole house with the aroma of a raisin pie. I don't know what recipe she used. I don't know if she thought that there was a multiplication thing going to happen, but when they cut into that pie, there were three raisins in it. But raisins produce gas, and the gas lifted the top of the pie crust, and it looked like a pie, but it wasn't. It was just a crust with three raisins in it. My mom didn't learn how to cook. And if she was baking a cake and you ran through her house, you just well go out and dig yourself a hole because you're about to get buried. Because if you made her cake fall, or if she had made bread and had the bread on the counter and she'd just finished kneading the bread, and some of you know what I'm talking about, and in that big old stainless steel dishpan in there on the kitchen counter with a damp cloth over the top of it, and that bread starting to peek up over the top of that thing, you make my bread fall? I'll kill you and tell God you died. I mean, it was serious. We can't add anything to our salvation. God finished it on the cross. We need to accept it, live it, and go on from here and just be happy that He loved you and I enough to save us in the mess that we are. Anybody besides the preacher a mess? I'm done. We serve a great big God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's known us from before the foundations of the earth. And tonight, we go from this place trusting and relying on your salvation, Lord, not on what we can add to it. Not on any level of performance that I can perform. I'm grateful that your mercies are new every morning. I'm grateful that you're long-suffering towards us. I'm grateful that you know my end from my beginning. And I'm grateful that Friday's coming. You're spending time in the garden this week with your closest companions, trying to prepare them for Friday. One of your hand-picked circle of disciples is about to kiss you for 30 pieces of silver to identify you as Jesus of Nazareth. And when the guilt came, instead of repenting, he took things into his own hands, and like so many of us, self-determines that I'm just too bad to ever be saved, and he went out and he hanged himself when all he had to do was say, "Father, forgive me," and you'd have forgave him. Much like Peter, when Jesus forewarned him, he said, "Man, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." Peter's like, "Nah, that ain't no way, no way, no way, no how." And then as he stands by that warming fire in the middle of the courtyard, as Jesus is being taken away, Peter begins to get questioned. "Aren't you one of them?" "Nope. I don't know nothing. "Well, didn't we see it?" "No, not. It must have been somebody else. Wasn't me." Your speech gives you away. "I'm sure you're one of them." "Not me. Cock-a-doodle-doo." Peter looked across that courtyard and he saw Jesus being led away. And he repented. And Jesus forgave him. And it was so important to the Lord that after he was resurrected and he began showing himself to the people, that Jesus said, Go and tell them that it's me and Peter. Go tell them and Peter. You know how good that had to feel for the Lord to specifically name Peter? Because Jesus wanted Peter to know, man. Jesus had already told Peter, "On this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's still true today. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to think about these things as we go through this week. God, we give you all the glory and give you all the honor. We pray for Good Friday, for what it means, and we look forward with anticipation to Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. where we celebrate not a dead God, but a risen Savior. And for that, God, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for putting up with me tonight. God loves you and I love you. We'll see you Friday.